You are Locked On Pirates, your daily Pittsburgh Pirates podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to the 200th episode of Locked On Pirates. I am, of course, your host, Ethan Smith, who does the most, and welcome back on Monday, May 31st. We are this close to the month of June, hopefully closer to a Key Brian Hayes return, close to a bunch of things, but thank you all so much for being around while I've been here. And I mean, I haven't been here for the entire 200 episodes, but you know what? Still should celebrate it anyway. And as always on Mondays, we are joined by the awesome Gary Morgan Jr. How are you doing today, Gary?
I'm doing awesome, man. I mean, bad result today. Good weekend, though, of baseball. And we need you to bring us some weather up here. It's pretty cold up in Pittsburgh. So
yeah, it reached 100 in Savannah, actually, this weekend. So very interesting, but not interesting when you're in the service industry like me and have to wear a plaid shirt and jeans to work every day. But either way, one thing that was pretty good this weekend was the Pirates. The weather in Savannah has been pretty hot. The Pirates in this series were pretty hot, winning 2 of 3. Mitch Keller actually looked really damn good yesterday. JT Brubaker also put in a pretty good performance. And I mean, in the game on Sunday, of course, Richard Rodriguez picks up his first blown save, but the Pirates looked like a baseball team again. I mean, they looked like they were doing good. And this week, you could see a player, you know, some people might know him, Key Brian Hayes, come back Thursday. So with all of this stuff happening, I mean, it could be a fun week of Pirates baseball coming up.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we always have to temper expectations just a little bit. We were playing the Rockies. They're probably going to outpace the Pirates for worst record, I would say, by a little stretch, too. So especially with the Pirates getting healthy now, there's no getting healthy for the Rockies. There isn't anybody there. So, yeah. And even with trades, I think that's going to be the case. So I kind of like stamp back a little bit on, oh, it was such a great time. It was good to see them jump back together. Mm-hmm. Pretty downtrodden after the Atlanta series and just didn't get much better after. So it was really nice to see them come out and take charge against the team they should beat.
Oh, yeah. And you, every time you've come on here, and we can finally say it this time, you said the Pirates can get over their win total from 2020. And with the win on Saturday and the second of the doubleheader, they are 20-32 now after the loss Sunday. So,
yeah, and breaking about 10 news. Fewer games. So,
oh, yeah. And I mean, there you go. I mean, why not? Like, they've improved a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, does it mean anything? No. But it's just a fun thing to look back on. Maybe a little bit of a measuring stick for just how historically bad last season was. And, you know, things are kind of coming together. You can certainly say the pitching staff is leaps and bounds above what we watched last year. That's a pretty neat accomplishment for a general manager in one off season to turn things around that drastically. So.
Oh, yeah. And of course, the biggest news this week going into this week, obviously, Key Brian Hayes can be reinstated on June 3rd. And like you said before we started recording, hopefully it happens. It should happen. But I mean, the Pirates have already kind of been a little weird with his injuries and stuff with like we all thought he was coming back that one week, like 3 weeks ago. And then they put him on the 60-day IL as a timing thing. But he's been tearing it up in Indianapolis. So what is his impact going to be when he comes back?
His impact is going to be having a legitimate threat in the middle of the lineup. Mm-hmm. They just haven't had it since Moran went down. So having that back in the lineup. And I think, you know, having a little bit of a glimpse of somebody that really, really, truly has a shot to be right in the heart of the middle of everything they're trying to build in a few years, I think that's going to go miles towards connecting some of the fans with the team. He'll just add some excitement. Before we get to Hayes, though, you're missing a big one. Tomorrow, Chad Cole comes back.
Yes,
too,
Chad Cole does come back.
I mean, that's going to be an interesting transaction right there. They're going to have to move somebody out. I expect it to be Nick Mears, but every person that comes back is going to be a new decision. And we're going to get an idea of what they want to do with people. So
it's almost going to be like, you know, trading stocks almost with these kind of players. Like you're going to be trading stocks with one guy and then basically sending down another. And I mean, if you ever want to do that with sports players or baseball players, Gary, you should check out Sports Trade. It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's actually kind of cool. I've checked it out before. I haven't used it yet, but it, apparently it's like Robinhood for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. A fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform. Sign up today at Sports Trade and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. Today's episode, of course, is also brought to you by Locker Room. I'm on there pretty much every day at this point. But Locker Room is, of course, the app that is changing the way we talk sports with the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs in full swing. I will be honest, I don't really watch too much playoff hockey if it's not the Penguins. You could talk about any kind of sports that you would like. There's a lot of people talking about the Champions League final Saturday, NBA playoff talk, everything that you can think of on Locker Room. And again, it's changing the way we talk sports and download from the iOS or Android store. Felt like I did pretty good there with the tie-in to moving players up and down like stocks and trades and stuff. But I mean, what do we expect from Chad Kuhl tomorrow in his first start since the injury?
I mean, I'm hoping that they figured out a little bit of his wildness and or the wildness was a result of his shoulder not being right.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you'll know pretty quick with Chad Kuhl. He's either going to be crisp or he won't be.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm really most concerned about with him and always have been, because regardless of control issues, he's always struggled more when he gets guys on base. So when he gets guys on base, I'm going to be paying extra close attention to what he does. That's going to be something that has to improve. And the Pirates, if nothing else, are kind of proving that they have enough other options that he doesn't have to be a starter if he's not going to work out. They have nothing to lose or gain by forcing him to be anything he's not.
So. Yeah. And I mean, I think a good cap for him would probably be four innings tomorrow, or I think that would be a tomorrow, either way. But I think four innings would be good for him. That's what I'd like to see him do. I don't think he's going to go super deep. I mean, even if he does go deep, it is what it is. But I mean, from what we've kind of seen from some of these pitchers, is five or six innings is usually what you get out of them. And, I mean, the bullpen, again, even in the loss Sunday, didn't look bad. I mean, Richard Rodriguez just had his first blown save of the year. But, I mean, they got consistently out of jams. And one of the guys I've been really, really fond of to watch so far is Clay Holmes. Yeah. He is throwing absolute nasty stuff at batters right now. And that's what a lot of people right now, the Pirates still are probably up there, at least in the top half of the league in ERA from their bullpen, even after the month of May. But how many general people would be able to name half the players in this bullpen?
I'm a bad person to ask.
I mean, I know you can.
Yeah. And most of the people that, you know, I interact with, they have a pretty good idea of who's in the bullpen too, but, you know, they're not everyday names, you know, you're not going to hear them on ESPN or anything. But yeah, the bullpens have been really good. Kyle Crick, he's concerning. I didn't like his outing today at all. He actually just didn't look like he knew where his pitches were going.
Yeah.
And seems to have some new thing where he's afraid to face righties, which is super weird because all of his stuff plays to just kill righties. And he seems deathly afraid of it. The lefties, he was just right there challenging, hitting people right where they wanted to. And righties today, it got away from him. It was not a pretty sight.
Oh yeah. And then it's funny, we talk about the bullpen. Jason Mackey actually tweeted this out earlier today about the bullpen and how many different options they have just based on like pitches and people. Like you have a lefty slider and Sam Howard, a righty slider and Kyle Crick, a Rodriguez four seamer, a Bednar four seamer, loopy curve and a split, Chris Stratton's four pitches and a plus curve, and then Shashan Shreve's split. That's a lot of different stuff you could throw at batters in the bullpen, and that's really hard to game plan around depending on who they bring in. I mean, and you talk about all the pitches I just named. These guys are throwing the ball really well. Like, we both can probably assume here, the pitching staff has not really been the issue for the most part in the year outside of the games against Atlanta and Cincinnati. It's just the offense.
It'll get better as the year goes on, too.
Yeah.
I mean, once they start sorting out the rotation a little bit better, like I said, you know, we got Cole coming back tomorrow. They're going to see if they can work him in. They're going to give DeJong a chance here. And, you know, if they don't let him go 3, 4, 5 rotations through, it's a waste of a player because he doesn't have options. They'd have no choice but to DFA him. So I expect him to get a good long look, which tells me they've probably grown weary of their look at Trevor Cahill at this point. So while he's on the IL, I could see it being plausible he doesn't come back off it.
Yeah, and I mean, so I could see it as well. And I mean, also you take into account that probably one of our favorite guys, Miguel Yajure, has been very good. And then you also have to keep in mind that you also, Stephen Brault's coming back eventually.
And like Soriano.
And Jose Soriano has started his rehab assignment, if I'm not mistaken. So, I mean, they have a ton of options. Yeah. And for a team that is not that great, if you look at the other teams, like you mentioned the Rockies earlier, we have the options to kind of plug and play and do what we want. The Rockies really don't have that. The Orioles kind of, what John means, but that's like where they're at. And then I would have said the Tigers, but they decided they wanted to sweep the Yankees in Yankee Stadium for the first time in 20 years this weekend, which Yankees fans are just going all over the place right now with their team. And then, like, generally in baseball, it's good to have this because then you can pick and choose in the offseason again. And it's like a good thing to have, which is why I was so happy with what Ben Cherington was doing.
What Pirate fans should be thrilled about when they look at the pitching staff is not so much that right now they have all these pieces and choices. It's instead of completely emptying out the cupboard of pitching, we're not sitting here waiting on single A pitchers to get here before this team can pitch. Nope. They can pitch now. Mm-hmm. And even after moves, they've got depth to keep pitching. And next year, they don't have to go out and hunt again. They've got all these people in-house, mm-hmm. under contract.
Yep.
Some of them not even in arbitration yet. I mean, this is the build of a very, very nice, sustainable pitching staff.
Yep.
That they can add those top chips into later. Instead of praying for those top chips to get here and be the savior, they'll show up and be part of the solution that's already got a good foundation laid. That's the most exciting way to look at what's going on right now.
Yeah. And I like it too, because that means they can be patient with guys like Roenzi Contreras, Brennan Malone. Obviously they're going to be anyway, but I mean, even Quinn Priester, they can let him continue to mold his game in AAA and wherever he's at and just let it keep moving to where whenever he does come up, he's a polished product rather than like just throwing him out there. And I mean, and this is the thing too, is I've also given Mitch Keller a lot of crap, but he's actually, to me, this is, I think, arguably the best Mitch Keller we've seen, in my opinion.
It was his best outing this year, I would say. You know, last year, I think he fooled a lot of people into thinking that he figured some things out in the last couple starts there because he threw some no-hit baseball. But I just don't think people realized how wild he was. You know, those are box score readers. If you actually watched him, he didn't know where that ball was going most of the time. Yep. And people were taking real ugly swings on him. His stuff's crazy. If it crosses the zone, yeah, he's going to get swing and miss. But he's also gave up like 7-8 walks in those outings. You know, that's what was nice to see cleaned up this year. You're facing the Rockies, though. Again, I'm kind of scared to like go out and say. And plus, he's in this weird every other game pattern thing too. And this was supposed to be a good one. So like until he breaks that pattern and does it against a good team and, you know, shows it, it's hard to believe in it.
Yeah. And I mean, his next start, I believe, will be against Miami. Is it against Miami? It should be.
Or but we don't really know because they don't have the pitchers announced. So.
Yeah, I was going to say, because based on what ESPN is telling me, he's actually not slated to pitch in that series, which is kind of weird, but unless I just read it wrong. But either way, I mean, we have an off day today, and the great thing about off days sometimes is you get to cook yourself dinner or something or all that stuff, but if you want a snack, you should always check out BuiltBar.com. Built Bar, of course, is the protein bar that tastes just like a candy bar. They are 100% chocolate covered. They have so many amazing flavors, 9 flavors that actually are all around all the time. And then my personal favorite limited time flavor, birthday cake, which is white chocolate instead of regular chocolate, is absolutely amazing. And of course, if you go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, they just renewed it again to where you can get 15% off of your next order, meaning you could already be consuming the best protein bars on the market and still get 15% off the next time you order them. And you can even create your own box of a 12-pack. So make sure you go to builtbar.com and let them know that the Locked On Podcast Network sent you. And now that we're back, I know we usually like to talk about everything going on in baseball. And the Tampa Bay Rays, I saw today, have won 15 of their last 16 games.
Yep.
And then you look at a bunch of other things, and the Mets, for some reason, all of a sudden, are starting to pull away a little bit. The Cubs and the Cardinals now at the NL Central, they're kind of the top two teams. And then now the Dodgers are back in third place in the NL West again. So, like last week, everything was kind of one way, and now we've changed the week, and it's all different again.
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers all worry about in July. You know? Like, they're just getting Bellinger back. You know, I don't know. They'll come together, I think, a little bit more. We'll see. Tampa, they're Tampa. I mean, the thing is, they would drive you crazy if you were a fan of them, because in the middle of that, they decided to just up and trade Willy Adames. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, they got Wander Franco coming, so it's not a big deal, right? But they're still keeping Wander Franco down. You
know? Yeah, it's like you
they're going to hit that super two one way or another.
And it's like you expected him to come up like almost right after that. And now
I didn't. I've been following the Rays for a long time. I didn't expect him to come up, period. Yeah. They're going to hold him down as long as they absolutely can. Make sure they get that super two, pull him up. But everyone praises them for winning, praises them for beating the Yankees. Not a single person would like being a fan of that franchise. The way that they run it, and that's what Major League Baseball's created. That's the way out. That's the out clause for having no cap. Mm-hmm. You have to be okay with that. Sorry.
Yeah, and I mean, you're not wrong on that at front either. And I mean, as Pirates fans, if that's what ends up happening 3 or 4 years from now, like they have a guy there and they just up and trade one of their better players and say, okay, well, we got rid of that now, but we're just going to keep this guy down here. Why not? And you bring it up almost every time we do this too. And I love that you bring it up. The Pirates and arbitration are about to be like a married couple in like 2 years. Like they're just going to be using arbitration more probably than anybody in baseball, just because they have the option to. I know they've talked to Key Brian Hayes about an extension, but if you can keep him around for whatever his arbitration number is, why would you even try to like pay him way more than that until you absolutely need to?
I mean, at some point, there's a way to do it. Like the Rays do it. They gave, Blake Snell an extension, right? They just never let that contract run out. You're never going to get to the end of that contract. You'll be gone before it's up. So if you sign Cabrian Hayes for 8-9 years, you buy out his arbitration so you don't have to guess. You don't wind up paying him $23 million a year like Chris Bryant's getting in Chicago.
Yep.
And you know, you trade them when the time's appropriate or when the window's closing, or you want to keep the window open.
Yeah. And I also love everything going on right now with the MLB draft too. I saw 6 different mock drafts the other day that all had the Pirates taking 6 different players with the first overall pick. So this is going to be very fun for me whenever this comes around, and for yourself also, just trying to figure out what in the world they're going to do, because not even a month ago, it was Jack Leiter this, Jack Leiter that. No question about it. He's now number 4 on MLB.com, and I think number like 5 on Baseball America. It's nuts.
But they always sour on college pitchers as you get closer.
Yeah.
So none of that really changes anything for me. I still think the Pirates have a list that they're keeping that has nothing to do with what Major League Baseball is looking at.
Yeah.
They have 3-4 players they want. And, you know, they'll choose before they get there. I think it's probably going to be Lawler. or lighter. But I don't think they'll go too far off the reservation here. I really don't.
Yeah, and I mean, it'll be fun to see too, just because I mean, it'll be, well, they had, well, did he, or Ben Cherington pick Nick Gonzalez, or was that before him?
Yeah, he picked Nick Gonzalez.
Okay, so this will be like, but this will be like one of his bigger acquisitions too. So it'll be interesting to see what he decides to do.
You could argue there's none bigger than a number one overall pick. You know, that you could go an entire career and never get one of those, you know, if you're successful enough. And to just get kind of handed one by his previous, by his predecessor. Hey, sweet. You got to make them count though. You just, you can't swing and miss on this. That's all. Has to be a good player.
Yeah. And I mean, if you look at the last time they had one, it was Gerrit Cole.
Yep.
They hit on that one. I mean, they didn't hit on the trade that they eventually made for him, or made with the Astros. But I mean, he was a big part of a lot of the reason why that team was good for that stretch of time. And that's what I think. And that's what I think too, is I trust Ben Cherington a lot. I mean, you look at his track record, almost everywhere he's went, he's brought teams to winning. I mean, it's something that you could look on a piece of paper and see where he's been, what that team turned into. I mean, he turned the Red Sox into a World Series team. And I've told you this before, that team to me had no business winning the World Series, like at all. And then he just brings it together and it just popped out of nowhere, became the best team in baseball.
I mean, they had a targeted, purposeful burn down of what was there, knowing what they already had coming, and they piled onto it. I mean, it's a good strategy. It works for a lot of people, and then you keep a good young core for a while. It's a different way.
Yeah.
It's not a game the Pirates could play.
No.
Because they couldn't afford to keep people long enough to hold that many prospects back. That's the issue.
Oh, so. Yeah. And going into this week, as I said, it's going to be a fun week. What are you like most looking forward to this week from the Pirates?
I think continued good baseball. I'm really looking forward to getting Hayes back. I think it's really difficult to imagine where this team would be if they just had that extra bat in the lineup every day. It'll just be good to have a real power threat, not just somebody that pops one every once in a while. Yeah, it's good. And I'll be interested to see that. As far as the matchups go, we'll start with Casey. I mean, Casey's fallen off, you know, last time they matched up, they were both, you know, looking pretty good. So I think it's a different matchup now, but Casey's at least got some bats that I'd worry about if I'm the Pirates.
The even better part about that matchup tonight, by the way, it's actually a nationally televised game. Pirates are on national TV for once. It's like, wow, wait a second. They're on ESPN.
So you're telling me Pirates Twitter is not going to be filled with complaints about Joe Block or Greg Brown?
I mean, hey.
I can't even believe it.
Yeah. I mean, and then, I mean, going to obviously what the biggest story in the Pirates week was, I mean, I'm happy Will Craig bounced back from what was just, I watched that play live and then had to rewatch it 20 times. And I was just like, dude, it's just a bonehead mistake, but it's like, I like how he handled himself after the fact.
Yeah, I mean, everything about that, what were people going to say? You know, yeah. I mean, Derek Shelton's not going to publicly flog the kid.
No,
you know, and it's a guy that, let's be honest, he's probably headed towards his third DFA with the club that picked him first overall. there's nothing to be gained by crapping on him, to be honest. And you know, he came out and he rebounded, he had a couple hits. I actually think he's handled the bat fairly well since he came up. He's probably made them think about what they're gonna have to do more than I gave him credit for.
Yeah.
But
I mean, too, and then like I just loved everybody, because everybody asked in the Locked On Network asked me about it. I was like, they were like, what do you think of the Javi Baez magic? I'm like, there's no magic in this. He was running the complete wrong direction on the base pass, and all Craig had to do was go step on first. There's no El Mago magic to that at all. And the sad part is everybody talks about that play and just talks about it. I'm like, I was looking at it in the grand scheme of things in the game. If that play doesn't happen, the Pirates potentially win that game. Like, that was actually a big reason why they lost. even with the Jock Peterson home run, or was it Jock Peterson that hit the home run in the ninth inning? I think that game's still tied, if I'm not mistaken, even if he hits that.
Yeah.
But then you're going to extra innings.
That was a bad play by everyone involved, not just Craig. I mean, the umpire screwed that up too. There shouldn't have been a safe call there, because the runner at home can't count until there's been a determination on what happened at first base.
Yep.
Or a tag's been applied. So he shouldn't have signaled anything, which was part of the panic, you know. It was just handled wrong all the way around.
Yep.
And it's over, and you'll probably never see it again in your entire life.
Probably not. Yeah, you're right. But as we end here, hopefully it's a fun week of Pirates baseball. Hopefully we get to see Key Brian Hayes suit up in number 13 again in PNC Park, and hopefully maybe he hits another home run again in his first at bat back. It'll be opening day part two. but where can we find you on Twitter, Gary? Where can we find your work?
On Twitter, GaryMO2007. I host two podcasts, fan forum podcasts on DK Pittsburgh Sports Podcasting Network. And I write about the Pirates for InsideTheBucksBasement.com.
Awesome. Yep. And of course, you can find this podcast on anywhere where you find your podcast. Of course, at Locked On Pirates on Twitter. My other Twitter, MVP_Ethan, is where you can see me whine and complain about the Los Angeles Clippers on a daily basis. I will be, of course, in Pittsburgh in 2.5 weeks. I think I'm going to the Saturday game against the Cleveland Indians. So I'll be back in PNC Park for the first time in probably about 3 or 4 years. So that'll be fun for me. But thank you all for tuning in to the 200th episode of Locked On Pirates. Hopefully I will be here for a long time. So hopefully I'll get to my own 200 episode mark. I don't remember what the mark was when I started, so I can't really tell you where I'm at there, but hopefully I'll be here that long. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll catch you on the flip side tomorrow, probably recapping the Kansas City Royals Pirates game and then previewing the Marlins series. And I hope you all have a great rest of your Monday.